Before we get into this juicy myth, I'd like to take a moment to give our enormous love and thanks to Carlos Ravoyo, whose generous donation sponsored this episode of Psychopompous, A New Mythology. If you want to be like Carlos and sponsor an episode, you can visit our donation page at psychopomp-cast.com/donate. Thanks, Carlos. What an epic hero. Now, let's tell a story. A myth. The weaving contest. Apollo's sun rose bright and warm one morning over Myonia in Lydia, a town revered for its textiles. Merchants loved this place as it was easy to find master weavers and was one of the few places renowned for their use of rich and deep purples, the color of the divine. It was said that Athena, goddess of wisdom and the arts, smiled upon this place. Among these masters, there were none more talented than a young woman named Arachne. Her father had come here long ago, and where he had been humble, her skill at the loom made her bold. Arachne spent every morning walking through the marketplace, looking at the day's textiles, searching for something to make her pause. But nothing ever did. Finely woven as it all was, it was all beneath her. Her gifts were so astonishing that the weavers and merchants who saw her walk by would lower their heads so they would not catch her disapproving eye. And after strolling the markets, she would return to her workshop to display her dexterity, often picking up travelers who journeyed simply to see her and her work. By the time she had finished her morning weaving on that particular morning, Apollo's golden sun was high and hot overhead. Arachne shrugged off the midday heat and walked down to the nearby river where she bathed in the cool water. She enjoyed the silence broken by birdsong for a time, until a beautiful sound danced across the fields. Curious of its source, she finished bathing and stepped onto the warm earth. She followed the music over a small hill and to a well-plowed field where she spotted two satyrs and a small army of naiads. The first satyr she saw was the source of the music. He puffed his cheeks out while playing his peculiar instrument, and the sound of it delighted the naiads, guardian nymphs of the nearby river, who burst into song and dance. Her eyes flitted to his companion, a satyr known to her and all of Myonia in Lydia. He was Pan, god of the wild. As the first satyr continued to play his strange instrument, Arachne felt entranced by it, and she looked for a place to listen. She slipped between the dancing naiads until she came upon a tree stump, where she caught eyes with an old woman who was snacking on olives in the sunlight, like you do. Arachne sized the rough-hewn crone up before returning her attention to the satyrs.
Again, play for us, please.
No. That was my fourth song. Go ask Pan.
Pan, play for us, Pan.
My pipes are pretty mighty. You sure you have what it takes? Pan grabbed his large pipes and played them while chasing the naiads, who laughed and screamed with joy as they ran.
You there, satyr.
I have a name, you know.
And I'm sure you're gonna tell it to me.
Yes, it's Marcius.
What is that instrument? I've never heard it before.
No idea what it's called. I found it in the woods.
The sound it makes is very captivating.
Yes, I think so too.
The old woman who was sitting nearby watched the two speak and laughed when she heard the satyr revel in the instrument's sound.
Arachne turned to the woman. What is so funny?
Oh, mouthy.
Excuse me?
Satyr, you found that instrument in the woods.
I have a name.
Yes, I heard. You found it in the woods. Is that correct?
That's cool. Don't learn my name. Fine. Yeah, I found it in the woods.
Don't take that tone with me, goat.
Marcius knocked the bowl of olives out of her hand. Watch your mouth, you old bag.
Oh, do you know what that instrument is?
No, but I'm sure you do, and you're gonna tell me.
It is called an aulos.
An aulos? Cool.
Cool?
Yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Did you know that it's the sacred instrument of Athenus, the great goddess?
Nope.
The old woman looked at Arachne. Why do you make that sound when you hear our goddess's name?
Our goddess? If it truly is the sacred instrument of Athenus, then why was it abandoned in the woods? And how did it fall into the hands of a smelly, drunk, horny satyr?
I'm right here.
Yes, I'm aware.
First off, I love the way I smell. And I'm not that drunk. It's only midday. Second, why do you have to drag me like that?
The women ignored the goat man. I have heard that she cursed the instrument, this aulos.
Of course she did.
And why did she do that?
Because she hated the way her cheeks looked as she played.
Oh, I am living for Athena's vanity.
What kind of curse?
Whoever plays it will die a horrible death.
Arachne and Marcius shared an eye roll.
Marcius annoyingly sighed. The gods are not creative at all. It's always a horrible death.
We muses claimed all creativity, for the record.
You sure it's cursed?
That's just what I've heard.
Convenient. Well, I've been playing it for months, and I've yet to die, horribly or otherwise.
Pan jumped onto Marcius's back. Who are these women?
I don't know, Pan. They're both kind of rude.
I know you. You're the weaver.
That's right.
A weaver, you say?
The very best.
What is your name?
Arachne.
Oh, I've heard of you.
Everyone has heard of me.
Is that so?
Yeah, it is actually. She's like extremely famous and the most humble person you'll ever know. At least that's what I understand from her reputation.
Humility is a trait of the talentless.
Humility is a trait of those who know better.
Who is speaking to you?
I've thought about you so often.
And I've never thought about you at all.
What do you think Athena would say if she saw this behavior?
I don't care.
Such arrogance.
Arrogance? Come to my workshop and see what I do. Then you'll know why I am arrogant.
Arachne began to walk back to town with the satyrs, naiads, and the old woman in tow. When they arrived at the workshop, Pan looked at the tapestries on display.
Your work is impressive.
I know.
And knowing this, you scoff at Athena?
Athena means nothing to me.
Marcius and the naiads shifted uncomfortably.
But it is clear to me that Athena has given you your gift.
She has done no such thing. My father was a master weaver, and he taught me. And even then, it was not long before I was the master. Athena had nothing to do with it.
But, like, Athena had everything to do with it. Have you ever met Athena?
I wouldn't know her if I saw her.
Well, I know her when I see her. And she is not to be crossed.
I am not afraid of Athena.
Marcius, I think we ought to go.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
No, stay. I have a better idea. Let's see which one of us should be called the goddess of the loom.
Girl, what?
Marcius hid behind Pan.
The naiads scattered as the three felt the air leave the workshop.
In their place stood the old woman, looking hatefully upon Arachne.
Still here? I had completely forgotten about you.
I would not compare myself to the great Athena if I were you.
Still blathering away, old hag?
Excuse me?
Are you hard of hearing, too? I said, get gone.
No mortal could ever begin to approach Athena's glory. If you had half a mind, you'd fall to your knees and beg forgiveness.
Age has rotted your brain, hag. If your goddess is so great, then she should come here and I will show her what a fool she is.
Marcius, this is crazy.
The old woman stepped forward and laughed, her glamour slipping away, leaving Athena in her place. And here I am, Athena, goddess of the loom.
Am I supposed to be impressed?
I have never known such a wicked woman.
Arachne was touched and smiled as the goddess pushed past her to examine the work. She thought she spotted a glimmer in Athena's eye, but the goddess only turned to her.
I've seen better.
Are you the goddess of lies, too?
I gave you your skill. Who gave you your tongue?
You gave me nothing, and my skill gave me my tongue. Well, do you dare to weave against me?
Give a mortal a length of rope, and they always tie a noose. Athena conjured two looms. Pan.
Yes, Athena?
You will judge.
Oh, Athena, I am the god of the wild, and I'm pretty drunk. Surely there's someone better. How about calling victory?
You don't want to judge? Very well. Let's have your little friend Marcius do it instead.
I'd rather not.
I don't make requests.
I don't know anything about weaving or art.
Then you better learn quick.
Marcius looked at Pan, who mouthed,
"Choose Athena."
Well, girl, let's see what you can do.
Athena and Arachne began their weaving contest.
Athena wove the 12 Olympians high on the peak of Olympus, celestial crowns shimmering. She wove the colors of the rainbow next to the royal purple dye. Her skillful arms flew across the work. It glittered with gold, catching light that danced in Apollo's sun.
Arachne also wove the 12 Olympians, but they were not on the peak of Olympus. Instead, she wove them in the acts of their greatest depravities.
Below the gods, Athena wove them performing their greatest deeds, their features flawless and distinguished. Hephaestus chaining the traitor Prometheus to the mountain so her great father Zeus could feast on his liver. Hera punishing the Oread Echo for her abuse of her divine voice. And Aphrodite compelling the hunter Narcissus to fall for his own reflection because he refused her gift of love.
Arachne read the goddess and told the same stories she knew Athena would tell. She wove Hephaestus chaining Prometheus to the mountain and Zeus feasting on his liver for bringing fire to mankind. She showed Hera's vicious torment of the Oread Echo, who was forced to lie to cover for Zeus. Aphrodite forcing Narcissus to fall in love with his own reflection because he wanted to choose love for himself.
Athena continued by featuring Demeter punishing the king of Thessaly for cutting down her sacred grove. Artemis in the sky raining arrows down upon the children of Niobe because she thought herself greater than Leto. Apollo weaving his famous laurel wreath crown. She wove Ares, her rival, in agony over losing the love of his life. Hermes building the city of Thebes, and Dionysus is laughing over King Midas's greed.
Arachne responded with Demeter using the princess of Thessaly to punish the king, the slaughter of Queen Niobe's children by Artemis, Apollo chasing a nymph until she became a laurel tree. She wove Ares, Athena's rival, forging their resolve in fires of mourning. Hermes using a mortal to build the city of Thebes, Dionysus' cruel trickery of King Midas.
Finally, Athena wove her great deed in the center, her battle of wits with Poseidon for the city of Athens. He struck a rock with his trident and sprung forth a horse, while she stuck her spear in the fertile Athenian soil, producing the first olive tree. The Olympians above declaring her the winner and giving her the city that would bear her name.
For the final two gods, Arachne chose differently. In the center was Athena's temple. She wove Poseidon's rape of Medusa and Athena's betrayal to women everywhere. Arachne wove Athena's position carefully in the center so she could place a noose of ivy around the goddess's neck.
She finished by lacing the tapestry with olive branches.
Are you still working?
Rude girl. Your tapestry better move me to tears. Marcius, make your choice.
Marcius looked at the tapestries. Shit. It was immediately obvious who won, but to say so was to surely invite Athena's wrath. Not only was Arachne's far superior, it also mocked the gods. Athena is the winner!
Spineless goat.
Let me see what you've done. Athena looked upon the tapestry. I must admit you have tremendous skill. I see no flaws. Technically, it is fabulous. But what makes you think you can create this object of blasphemy?
Because I did. Because I can. I can do whatever I want, and I will continue to do so for as long as I can weave.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And what of it is done? By the way, Athena, looking at what you've created, surely there is no doubt who should be called the goddess of the loom. Arachne laughs at Athena.
Athena grabbed the girl by her hair and threw her to the ground. She went to the girl's tapestry and tore it to pieces before breaking a piece of the loom off and beating Arachne with it. How very clever and thoughtful of you to tie nooses. Seems to me as if you are asking to be hanged.
Hang me then, you hag. My work still is better than yours.
Athena beat her senseless and slipped the rope around her neck. You will hang for this outrageous offense. Any last words?
People only worship you because they are scared of you. People worship me because I'm incredible. You will be long forgotten, but me, my name, will live forever.
Athena kicked the chair out from under Arachne.
And she was hanged.
No, this is too easy. Death is not the end for you, girl. Fate-weaving Clotho, terrible sister of fate, give this girl new life.
And Clotho, a sister of fate, did as she was requested. Arachne was reborn.
But gifts from the fates are not without their humor. Arachne was reborn, but not as human. Instead, she returned as the first spider.
What is this? A horrible little bug?
Pan examined the spider. Oh, how cute. She can still weave.
What? Athena watched as Arachne began to spin silk. The fates are so funny, aren't they? Still, you should have been content with fame and glory among men and known when to yield to the magnificence of the gods. Do not think I've forgotten about you, Marcius.
Yikes.
And Marcius saw Athena leave with fury in her eyes before turning to Arachne and watching her weave her very first web.
End of myth.
Thank you for listening to the Weaving Contest. Psychopompus, a New Mythology's First Myth. I'm Tay-Tay Gaberkoff, the author of the piece. Thank you to everyone listening for your continued support, and welcome if this is your first episode. This episode was sponsored by Carlos Ravoyo, and we are so grateful for his support. If you're interested in learning more about episode sponsorship or donations in general, you can visit our website at psychopomp-cast.com, on Instagram at Psychopompous the Podcast, and on YouTube at Psychopompcast. We're very excited to share details of our next episode with you, which takes us deeper into the meat of the story. Spanning four scenes, you'll be introduced to many of the Olympians and several of the characters caught in their webs. As Hera celebrates the brides Persephone and Eurydice at a bridal shower, Zeus takes the opportunity to plot with Athena and Apollo to oust her and bring a mortal who caught his eye to Olympus. This episode, Chapter 1, The Eagle, will release to the general public on April 15th, 2024. Donors will receive the episode early as always. If you'd like to get the jump on early access to future episodes, you can donate to us right from our site. Finally, a round of thanks, as always, to Rachel Stalens, my co-producer and the director of Psychopompus and New Mythology. To our actors, Anya Klingman as Calliope, who you previously heard as Pythia in the last episode, Valerie Livers as the old woman slash Athena, and Mandan Mueller as Marcius, both of whom you heard in Medea Myth as Handmaiden and Alchemenes. Finally, making their Psychopompus debuts are Miguel Long as Pan and Pixie Leona as Arachne. Also, the most enormous thank you to Joe Palermo, our director of sound, and Roy Freeman, our musical director and composer. Finally, thank you to Stephen Russell for his continuing donation. Thank you so much for listening to the Weaving Contest and to Psychopompus and New Mythology. The epic continues.